their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for you joining us today. As we face the issues, we're going to be talking about an issue that I believe we should consider based on the changing times and where we're headed into the fall season, with the potentiality of colds, flus, and what some of the so-called scientists are saying, a new strain of COVID could be on the way. And according to the World Health Organization, they want to take over and be in full control on a global basis of what we can do, can't do, where we can go, and what kind of shots we need to take. And we're going to be talking about that today with our very special guest, Dr. Reed Shetfall. Shetfall, I'll get that right one day, but we're delighted to have him in the studio with us. We'll be talking about a number of issues that I believe we could simply call COVID update. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's truth book, where we see what God said to the disciples as he spoke to them in John 8:31-32, made a profound statement that I believe is applicable today when we think about what God would have us to do and how he would have us to live. God's word says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Truth is wonderful. It's the reason I call the Bible the truth book. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declarative statement about the scripture. Thy word is truth. Didn't say thy word is partial truth, some truth, or available attentive truth, but full truth. And then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem, if I may interject that. In today's society, it fulfills the basic thought that George Orwell had in the 1947-48-49 publication of what was called 1984. He was projecting what the world would look like in 1984, in particular America, and he said this: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be profound truth today. And ladies and gentlemen, it was former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made the statement, and I'll read a portion of his elongated quote. But DeMint said, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our churches. And yet we have a multitude in our society today. According to the latest survey, the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, I want you to ponder that a moment. If there's no absolute truth, if there's no pinpointing of facts that are true, how do we have any court of law that would end up with the right decision? If anything could be vacillating, that there's no absolute truth, then there's a problem. And yet we have those that say that. In fact, the younger generation today, this is not all. In fact, I'm thankful to see some major changes in the younger generation after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I believe we're seeing a number of those that are literally seriously searching for truth. And that's the reason they're following, and so many are being added to the ones that are saying, let's follow Charlie Kirk. Let's be like Kirk. Let's be like Charlie, is the mindset. But ladies and gentlemen, that age group 55%, according to the survey, says that each person, I'm reading from their quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Now, I'm concerned about that very fact. And I've used this many times down through the years as we do the broadcast here on Let's Face the Issues. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's what we do in this broadcast each and every day. We're defending the truth of the Word of God, truth of what is taking place in society. I don't know about you, but if I can just tuck this little young blood parenthetical footnote here, I get a little wary with where we are in our nation today, with there being such a vacillation of what is called truth, where the media will tell you one thing, the Marxist media, that is, the political arena on one side of the aisle will tell you another thing. We'll have the so-called scientists that will tell us something else. What are we to believe in the world today? How are we to go back to the rudimentary fundamental elementals of truth? I believe that's what we need to seek and define, and I believe that's what we attempt to do each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of the Beltway of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. And atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Should we, the people, believe what we're told about medical care today? Our so-called pandemic that's planned and the potential for the future. Should we believe it? I just watched a video. I've surveyed the video. It's a powerful video with a nurse speaking. And let me summarize what this nurse says on the video. And I believe it to be fact, and so I'm repeating it today. Ladies and gentlemen, the nurse says, if you go to the emergency room for treatment, you'll be asked and urged to get your vaccination. Did you have your vaccination? If you say no, they will enter it into the medical record simply that you rejected the vaccination. But God forbid, if you have, say, a broken knee, a broken leg, something where you're going to have to be given anesthesia of some type to put you to sleep. According to this nurse that spoke, she said that you have a possibility, a great possibility. In fact, all of the nurses have been, she said, informed to do so while you're asleep, give you the vaccination without you knowing about it, without your consent. And you've signed a consent form. And the thing is that I understand from what she said that the consent form includes the word biogenics, that you are consenting for any procedure they find is necessary, including, quote, biogenics. And the code word for that, or the code for that is simply the vaccine. Now, I'm frightened over that. I'm concerned about that. I've already lost about 99.99% of my confidence in the medical association and what are being those things that are being told and pushed on society about you need this shot. In fact, I get a little upset inside when I go into the Walgreens drugstore. They've got signage up all over the place. Get your flu shot free. Get your COVID shot free. Get your whatever other shots free. And it's not free. It may be free to the patient getting it, but it's being paid for by the federal government, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And of course, they're going to push it. Of course, they're going to recommend it because the MONEY, as a result of getting you prodded, pushed, and coerced into the vaccinations. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, I believe it's just another event that we're seeing in the world. And yet the new realization is that things like COVID, we're finding lies after lies after lies. We've covered that many times with Dr. Shaftal. We've talked with him about the origin of it. What is it? What does it do? Is it real? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today in the studios with us Dr. Reed Shaftal. And let me just give you a little information about him. I believe that it would be beneficial. He's an MIT physics major, former instructor in physics at the University of Southern California. And he's done about 50 hours, he says, on mistake-free videos on COVID-19. And Dr. Shaftal is a heart surgeon, plastic surgeon. And I could give you a list as long as my arm of his biographics and his background and his standing. But I'm delighted to have him again with us today as we talk about the subject, COVID update. Dr. Shaftal, if you would take just a minute, for those that may not have heard you before, just give a few moment thumbnail sketch, elevator speech, as I call it, about you, your background, your passion, what you're doing, and you might even want to tuck in something about your book, Sanctioned, The COVID Murders.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I appreciate you having me on once again, and you thought of the great idea that we would do COVID updates for our audience as often as we can get together.
Yes.
And I think they really appreciate that because this is an ongoing thing, obviously.
Yes.
I have so much to say today. I hope we have enough time. My background is exactly as you just summarized it, and you did a great job. And I'd like to jump right in on this very important point you're making here at the beginning, because to me, it's another example of medical tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
For them to be able to slip a fancy word into a consent when everybody's nervous before surgery, and they don't usually read them anyway, they just sign them. I can tell you that as a surgeon. That's horrible. Because people don't know what biogenics means. They don't know what biologics mean, which encompasses vaccines also,
yes,
that term. And to think that they would be injected while they're under anesthesia because a word was slipped in when they were asked to sign a 4-page consent is horrible.
Yes.
Like I say, it's medical tyranny. It's just gotten out of control. The whole of COVID was medical tyranny, locking down healthy people, making people wear masks that covered both ways that we breathe and the ways that we express ourselves, is medical tyranny. And one thing that upset me very much recently was watching the Senate hearings with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I was shocked at the, let's call it, scientific illiteracy of the senators.
Yes.
I mean, they're calling it mRNA instead of modified RNA. Modified RNA, of course, refers to the pseudo-uridination of uracil residues on messenger RNA, which made the element that translates into proteins last months instead of minutes, which it normally lasts, normal messenger RNA. And that's nature's way of, if there's an error that's made, it's over in a few minutes anyway. And yet, the modified RNA is still in the blood circulating of a lot of people that got the vaccines years ago. It also causes frame shifting, which makes nonsense proteins, and we don't know anything about the toxicity of those proteins. And the senators, especially Senator Bennett, but all of them, even the ones that were previously doctors, we're talking about how safe the vaccines are. It just blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. They're so unsafe, it's incredible. And the statistics bear that out.
Absolutely. And I have found, even today, somewhat after COVID, as we really understand it and the tyranny of that, as you call it, I'm amazed at the number of physicians today that will still talk about you need your vaccines, you need your vaccines. Tell our listeners, what's in a COVID vaccination?
Oh, boy. Well, it's funny you'd mention that because we still don't know the nucleotide sequence that was in the Moderna vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin McKernan, another MIT guy, sequenced the plasmids that were in the Pfizer Comirnaty vaccine, and he found SV40 promoters and enhancers. And let me just quickly explain to the audience,
yes,
what those are. Those came from simian vacuolating virus. Okay, it's a monkey virus that contaminated polio vaccines back in the 1950s.
Yes.
And they put them in the plasmids that were used to make messenger RNA for the vaccines. And that was a horrible criminal act also, because they got the approval for the vaccines by using the PCR amplification process. Mm-hmm. Once they got the approval, then they switched to a different process to make the products that they marketed, and they never tested the marketed products. I realized that when it was happening and made a big to-do about it in my videos back then. And I recently watched the ACIP meeting, and ACIP stands for Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. That's the committee that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. fired all of the old people off of, if you
Wonderful.
Remember recently.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was a big controversy. But he replaced it with some very good people. And in the meeting that I watched, which was 6 hours long in preparation for today, a doctor... Wafiq El-Diri was going over the differences between the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, which is very important because a lot of people out there want to know which one was more dangerous, what are the differences, etc., because they may have either gotten Pfizer or Moderna, and they'd like to know in particular what's dangerous about their
That's right.
vaccine. So we can talk about the differences if you'd like to. But getting back to the SV40 promoters and enhancers, those things can get into they're delivered to the cells by the lipid nanoparticles, of course, because that's how the modified RNA gets into the cells, right? Remember
right.
the lipid nanoparticles. And when a SV40 promoter gets into the cell and gets into the nucleus, which you can do via the enhancer, if it gets put in the wrong place on our DNA, like, for example, right in front of an oncogene, right? This is a gene that causes cancer. If the promoter gets right in front of that oncogene will be expressed, whereas normally it's dormant. It doesn't get expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can cause cancer. Now, the reason that Pfizer put that thing in the plasmids is beyond me. And nobody understands why they put it in there, unless they had some nefarious purpose for doing so. They are not in the Moderna vaccine. So if you got the Modernas, you don't have the SV40 promoters and enhancers in your vaccine. But there are other problems with Moderna. The nanograms per dose are much, much higher in Moderna than they are in Pfizer. And that's why a lot of countries, especially in Northern Europe, took Moderna off the market way back when.
Didn't we officially at one point in time do the same with Moderna in America?
Oh, take it off the market?
Right.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
They have stopped some of the vaccines along the way because of certain complications.
Okay.
I remember the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was taken off the market for a while,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera. Now, in one of the appendices of my books, appendix number one is a 9-page list of complications after only one dose of Pfizer. And it is scary to read. There's all sorts of neurological complications that occur. I'm talking about 9 pages of single space complications, which are very, very
scary. Do you recall
scary.
The number on that? I recall looking at the book. I forgot.
There's over 1,000 complications.
I think it's about
1,300. 1,300,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's after one dose of Pfizer. Can you believe it? And people think these things are safe, and all these senators in that meeting I was talking about with Robert F. Kennedy were saying, we know it's safe and effective, you know, like Senator Bennett, I mean.
I'm amazed when they say that, and I recall so distinctly the Marxist media, all of those in the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, that's called Democrats, most of those that were making the decision and prompting, promoting, and pushing for the general public, isn't it true that they were not required to take the shot?
Oh, yeah, they're not required.
Yeah.
There's a list of about 15 entities that were not required to take the vaccine, including the employees of Pfizer and Moderna.
Wonder why.
Congress, mm-hmm. including the representatives and the senators, their staffs were not required. People at the White House were not required to take it. Isn't that incredible? And they mandated it on the general population.
Oh, the general population.
And then they're sitting there saying it's safe and effective when I can prove you 15 or 20 different ways it's not safe at all.
In fact, that's what you talk about, I believe, in your book that's entitled Sanctioned, subtitled The COVID Murders. Take a moment to just give a sketchy overview of what that book is about. And by the way, it can be found on conservative.edu. Scroll down to the bookstore, and we have those in stock on the shelf. Love to have you get them. But Dr. Shaftal, tell our listeners a little about that book.
Okay. It's a book that I wrote to let the public know what was really done to them, really and truly was done to them. Mm-hmm. And it's loaded with shocking revelations. The biggest shock, I think, to the public, and a lot of people don't believe me, but I can prove it very easily, is that there was never a SARS-2 virus. Mm-hmm. That was completely made up. There was no lab leak. The people that were behind this would never have risked something leaking. That's a random event that could have occurred 4 or 5 months later, or 5 years later, or 50 years later, a leak. And so they would never leave it up to a leak. The only possibility would be deliberate release, right?
Right.
Because remember, the reason...
That's been my contention, yes.
The reason that this happened was to hurt Trump's chances of getting reelected. Remember, Trump was going to win the next term in a landslide.
Right.
Inflation was below 2%. Gas was below $2 a gallon. You can look it up. It's all a matter of record. There was a crisis in the cash markets in September of 2019, and they needed an excuse for injecting a lot of cash into the system to rescue the cash markets. And they used the so-called pandemic for that. There was a desire to not let people assemble, and so they came up with this pandemic so that they could tell people they weren't allowed to assemble. Remember, they weren't even allowed to go to church and
right.
so forth.
Supposedly, we had church.
I know. You broke the rules, and I'm proud of you for it.
Hey.
You're amazing. You do everything right. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is such a serious subject. The government really took advantage of the people. And, excuse me, let me take a drink of water because I'm getting treated for cancer. And it dries my mouth out terribly. But the revelation that there was never a virus is what's so fundamental to the whole thing. The entire thing was made up. And so if there's no virus, there's no COVID-19.
Right.
It was a rebranding of other diseases, such as the flu.
Common flu.
Yeah. And if you look at the numbers of the cases of the flu in 2019, worldwide, it was 38 million. And in 2020, it was only 1,500. And so that's a reduction.
Magically, the common flu disappeared, didn't it?
Yes, it basically disappeared. It's a ratio of, it's a reduction ratio of 25,333.
Mm.
So it's just absurd to think, let's see, I don't know how to say this. It's absurd to think that the flu just disappeared like that.
That's right.
It's ridiculous, from 38 million down to 1,000 mm-hmm. and 500. So anyway, and by the way, the number of cases of COVID in 2020 was 32 million. So you sort of see where those cases came from. It was just a rebranding of the flu.
Dr. Shaftal, yes. I've got an article here that is dated December the 9th, 2021. And I'm sure you're familiar with this. And it says in the article, "Today marks the launch of my newsletter on Substack. I'm Dr. Reed Shaftal, surgeon, MIT physics major, and former instructor of physics with the University of Southern California." And it goes on to say, "I wrote to the host of Fox News, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, and CNN, Anderson Cooper, and Chris Cuomo, to notify them of my concerns, asking for just 10 minutes in which to explain to them," but received no reply.
Right.
Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, that was at the very beginning.
Yes.
It was in 2020, wasn't it? Or did I put a typo down?
2021.
I meant 2020.
Okay.
It was at the very beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote them. Not to get on TV, because I told him, I don't want to be on TV. I just want 10 minutes in your office, and then you can take the credit for it. But these lockdowns that the president is telling us we're going to be going into pretty soon. Remember, they would be over by Easter. Do you remember that part?
That's right.
Okay. Are absolutely the opposite of what needs to be done. People need to go outside, outdoors. And, of course, that's just all common knowledge now, that the lockdowns were a bad idea. But back then, everybody was in favor of the lockdowns. All the doctors were saying it's a good idea and so forth. Even Scott Atlas, who made very few mistakes, said we should try the lockdowns because they might work. But, of course, I derived everything from first principles and determined that it was a bad idea to lock down healthy people, which is what they did. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote these guys at Fox and CNN so that I'd have both ends of the political spectrum considering the correct explanation, but none of them wrote me back. Now, I'm not going to blame those four individuals because they probably have handlers that are checking their mail every day, and they looked at that and said, forget it, or whatever. But, I was on top of it from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
I could prove the lockdowns were no good, masks were no good. I had already calculated the correct infection fatality rate. I was the first to do that. It was 0.1%, which turns out to be exactly the infection fatality rate of the flu.
And
this evidence from the very beginning was telling us it was a rebranding. Now, at that time, I didn't know that there was no SARS-2 virus. I figured that out later when the evidence is absolutely airtight that there was no virus. Because remember, there's three ways that we can show people that a virus exists. We do it with cytopathic effects, with photography of electron micrographs, and the third way is through genetic sequencing. And with SARS-2, it fails on all three levels, no question about it. It's so easy for me to prove. Sitting with a virologist, I could disprove them so quickly. And so I know there was no SARS-2 virus.
Absolutely.
It just didn't exist.
Let's think for a moment that what Robert Kennard is doing in his position.
Yeah.
He's getting eviscerated because of what he's doing. Just give us your professional medical insight thoughts as to, is he right? Is he wrong? Where does this lead us? And what is it saying? Literally, what is it telling us based on what he's doing?
Well, he's right on some things. Which along the lines of it needs to be more open, all the science and so forth. It shouldn't be done behind closed doors. He's right about all of that. More transparency, for lack of a better term.
2 minutes.
But he's wrong sometimes on the science. And I wish he had an advisor like me that could prep him for these Senate hearings, because... Well, he could have put those senators in a airtight box if he wanted to, if he'd known more medicine. Now, he's not a doctor, so I'm not complaining or accusing him of anything for not being a doctor. But he needs some advisors that really know what's going on.
Yes.
Now, he's got Marty McCary and Dr. Oz, who are smart men, but they were wrong initially about COVID completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were in favor of lockdowns and the vaccine and masks, and they didn't know the proper infection fatality rate or any of that. They were wrong on all of it. And I've got quotes in my first book, which is Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of Lists, from both of those guys on a villain list to show that they were wrong about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they were doing... their own way of looking at it, and they're just not that rigorous, I guess, is someone like me. So I wish Kennedy would hire me, and I don't know how to get in touch with him, but I could really explain a lot of it to him that he doesn't understand. Let me say one more point about Kennedy. When Bernie Sanders questioned him in that Senate hearing, he asked Kennedy, RFK Jr., if he believed in climate change. And of course, climate change is not, man-made climate change doesn't exist either.
That's right. Absolute hoax.
I can prove that in 30 seconds, which I'll do after the break if people are interested in it.
Yeah, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall, and we'll be with him right after the news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park.